From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Matthew Smith, in for Julie Glenn. He's the longest-serving emergency manager in Florida. He rose to national prominence when Hurricane Charley made landfall in southwest Florida back in 2004. Today, Wayne Saliday with Charlotte County Emergency Management is retiring. We'll talk with the man himself and look back at a career spanning more than three decades. Plus, a documentary exploring the unintended consequences of school desegregation premiered this week on WGCU, and it brought leaders from Southwest Florida's African-American community together for a discussion about the enduring impacts of the civil rights movement, and followed up on the delayed arrival of school desegregation in South Florida. We'll hear from that panel discussion, hosted at WGCU, after the debut of the documentary Reading, Writing, and Civil Rights, Enduring Impacts. But first, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Matthew Smith, in for Julie Glenn. The longest-serving county emergency manager in the state of Florida retires today. Wayne Saliday has lived in Charlotte County for 52 years. He's been head of emergency management there for the past 30, and he became nationally prominent in 2004 when Hurricane Charley took an unexpected turn off the Gulf into Charlotte Harbor and devastated the county. WGCU's Michael Hirsch talked with Saliday at an outdoor cafe in downtown Punta Gorda this week. He says he and his wife, Vicky, are moving to Colorado now that he's accomplished everything he's wanted to achieve with the department.
We got our national accreditation in December, which was a major, major goal. And we're one of only 34, 35 jurisdictions in the country that has national accreditation. And that was something that I really, really wanted this county to achieve before I left. So it was pretty much the day after we got the word that we had met the 105 criteria that I said to my wife, there's nothing more I can do. I've done everything to get this office where I had always dreamed it would be. I have good people. I have a community with a fairly good attitude despite the changes in population that we've seen. And so I feel like I can move on and we won't lose much.
What's been the evolution of emergency management in the 30 years?
When I started, Mike, emergency management was still civil defense. I mean, you still had the good old boys in Florida that were, the build a bomb shelter and, run around with a pith helmet. And emergency management actually began to emerge in the late 80s. And, I was hired as the disaster preparedness coordinator. Well, disaster preparedness is one of the four phases that the emergency manager is responsible for. So it made more sense to say when the federal government and the state government became emergency management agencies, it made sense for the counties. And now all counties are emergency management.
What are the four stages?
Well, the four stages are, first of all, and first and foremost here, it's preparedness because everybody's from someplace else. There aren't many native Floridian senior citizens. We're few and far between. So that really means that your emphasis has to be on preparing the public for the various possibilities. We're coming into a horrific wildfire season. We're seeing it manifest itself across the state right now. A 4,000-acre fire in Polk County and about 50 other fires burning, and we haven't even gotten to the dry part of the year. So that's one right there. And part of that preparedness is called being firewise. And so, anyway, preparedness, response, which is when something does happen, either something that you get warning for or something that happens quickly, like, 9/11, for example. And then you have recovery, which is trying to put a community back to its pre-disaster condition or better. You want the community better than it was before the disaster. I called what happened here in Hurricane Charley, the aftermath, I said, was urban renewal by disaster because there were so many things that were aching to be done and the various political entities were arguing over what was going to be done and what would happen. And the hurricane came along and said, you want it? Fix it. And then the fourth one is mitigation. And that's, as I described to you, that's the uncle we all kept in the basement and, didn't talk much about, because it's forgotten a lot of times. And it's where you do something in advance that is all but guaranteed to reduce the impacts when a disaster does strike. Shutters on your home, you know, that is preparedness, yes, but it's mostly mitigation, because you're doing something to protect something else, something that is known entity, and you're taking that step of doing it, and that's mitigation. And we have many, many mitigation projects that are underway here in Charlotte County and across the state.
Your biggest frustration?
My biggest frustration is the fact that we have to constantly be on our toes to make sure that the people that come here from places that don't experience much in the way of disaster. For example, people don't know that the safest state in the nation from natural hazards is Michigan. They've had less disasters, national presidential disasters, than anybody else. People will say, oh, it must be Rhode Island, you know, it must be Wyoming. No, it's Michigan. And where do most of the people here come from? It seems like Michigan. So they're a tough group to get across the point that, yes, you know, we could experience something called storm surge from the Gulf of Mexico that could flood this community to levels just absolutely, you know, I sit right here and I look across at the historic courthouse and I know where the water line is. I'm looking right at it from the 1926 hurricane, and that wasn't a big deal, but a big one would make it much, much worse.
How many hurricanes did you experience?
Well, if you go under the premise of how many did I have to respond to because we were placed under a warning, it would be 10. Of course, 6 of those 10 came within the 2-year span of 04 and 05. And then there were many, many tropical storms like Keith and Isaac and others in which we didn't know what it was going to become or what it would do, because it doesn't take much along this coast to cause problems. But if you throw in the flood events that I've experienced, the tornadoes that we've had to deal with, the wildfires, you know, we've had our 2,000-acre wildfires. We were just talking the other day about a horrific fire. It was in March, about 7 years ago, on a Saturday with 40-mile-an-hour winds in South Punta Gorda Heights. And we lost 3 houses that afternoon. They were the first 3 houses that we had lost in anyone's memory to a wildfire. And it was because of the conditions, because of the winds. So there's many, many things. I've now for, gosh, 13 years since 2002, been a member of the Regional Domestic Security Task Force, which is Homeland Security. I didn't ask for it. I didn't seek it. But on September 11th of 2001, I was handed the reins as a Homeland Security guy. And that was something we knew was a possibility. We'd watched the first attack on the World Trade Center, underneath the World Trade Center. So we knew that this was a possibility. But I don't think anyone ever envisioned, you know, what happened. And that really changed the culture of emergency management, too, because it meant that we had that much more responsibility in concert with police and fire and, of course, public health, which is the fourth partner.
How'd you deal with it when people, residents, even government officials, referred to you as Chicken Little and a few other things?
Thanks, guys. Part of my crew. The whole Hurricane Wayne and Master of Disaster, I took it in stride. Did it hurt a little bit? Yeah, at first it did, you know, because it meant to me that people were dismissing what I was trying to say. But you know what? I found out on August 13th of 2004 that people had been listening. When you have a hurricane that comes down the block behind me with wind gusts to 190 miles an hour, and it destroys 11,000 homes across your community, and you lose only 4 citizens, somebody was listening to the message. And as the years have passed, probably the most dramatic incidents was when a father called me and said, I have to share a story with you. My 10-year-old came home today from Deep Creek Elementary, and he said, hey, Dad, the hurricane guy came today. And he said, you know what? And his dad said, yeah, I probably know. He says, how, Dad? How would you know? He goes, same hurricane guy came to my school about 22 years ago. And then he really laid it on me. He said that that little 10-year-old was a brand new baby, just weeks old when Charlie hit. And he knew, the father knew, to get in the closet with blankets and pillows and just sit tight. And they did as the roof came off of their house. And that one instance, that one case, has meant so much to me because, you know, having the opportunity to speak to 35,000 fourth graders over these 30 years has been probably my most significant contribution to the community.
One of the souvenirs you take with of your time as the emergency manager is a case of post-traumatic stress disorder. Tell us about that.
Well, it's, you understand that when an event like a Charlie comes, and I don't care what event it is in any city, it could be a tornado in Oklahoma City or could be flood somewhere, but when your home and your city is impacted by something as significant as that, and the entire world is looking at you. I mean, the next morning, I stood right on this corner of Marion and Taylor and talked into a camera and talked to Lester Holt, who was sitting in Athens, Greece, getting ready for the Olympics, and talked about what was going on in my town. And next, it was John Zarella from CNN. Then it was Greta Van Susteren. And then it was, you know, and on, every network was here. And you suddenly realize, you know, what a big deal this is. And constantly being hammered, for example, by people wanting to know, what's the death toll? What's the death toll? What's the death toll? Because that was the media's whole thing. And you understand that. I mean, they wanted to know. I mean, and they were, I don't want to say they were disappointed, but they were somewhat in disbelief that only four people had perished. They want to know, where's the bodies? You know, I had ordered two disaster mortuary units, and which meant 60 body bags, basically. And then we ended up only having the four people. So people thought, oh, they must be there must be more they're not telling us about. And why? Why would you not say, look, here's how many people... So that was hard. That was hard having to fend that off. But I had some, being my own spokesperson and not relying on a public information officer because of my background, I did it myself. I conducted all my own press briefings, and I brought all my experts, my sheriff, my fire chief, everybody was with me, and I would call on them to talk to specifics, because that's not when you put a politician up there because, sorry, that's not their job. That's my job. And that was a lot of pressure. That was an awful lot of pressure. So we came out of that, and then weeks later, we were dealing with Ivan. And Ivan was pointed right at Charlotte County and portended to be the storm that would come here and finish the job. Because if Ivan had taken the track he was projected, he would have brought significant storm surge to an already battered and not very good psyche community, if you will. So that's what brought that about. And it's, you know, as other storms have come subsequently, I've learned how to handle it, you know, a variety of different things, modern medicine, you know. But it's one of those things that many people in my position deal with the same thing, much like military, because we're at war, you know, with Mother Nature.
What does retirement hold for you?
Well, I don't like to call it retirement because I'm really not retiring. I went back to college 2 years ago, finished my master's degree last fall in emergency management, and I'm going to be working in the university as an adjunct faculty member, teaching what I've learned in emergency management and what I believe is critical for others to learn about continuity of operations, continuity of business. It's huge in the business world. Business schools are all offering a certificate in emergency management because when employers look on their resume, they see that they have this training in how to keep a business and how to get a business back up and running quickly. So that has become a very, very valuable commodity. So I'm looking forward to doing some of that. And I'm going to be a substitute teacher in the Mesa County school system out in Colorado. I've got a 3-year certificate, so we'll see if they can stand me for 3 years. But I'm excited. I'm looking forward to just doing something different.
Well, as they say, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
That was WGCU's Michael Hirsch speaking with Charlotte County Emergency Manager Wayne Saliday, who retires today after 30 years on the job. Charlotte County Commissioners declared today Wayne Saliday Day. Coming up, Reading, Writing, and Civil Rights, Enduring Impacts. The documentary premiered this week at WGCU-TV and sparked a conversation about the unintended consequences of school desegregation in South Florida. We'll take a listen to the panel discussion that happened right after the premiere. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Matthew Smith, in for Julie Glenn. Stay with us.